You're listening to Siren Radio. It's that wonderful time of the day, or whenever it is that you do the download or listen again, to see whether we can make contact across fields that are sodden here in the United Kingdom, across the seas, and across past storms and things that have been hitting the east coast of America, to see if the sunshine is kissing the buttresses of Shay Bruce K. Rosenbloom in the L.A. Man Cave. Are you there, Bruce?
Kissing the buttresses, but yes, I'm here. I want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Yeah, right.
I'm here. It's a beautiful 41 degree Fahrenheit day here in the Man Cave. The sun's shining, but it is brisk and cold.
Well, you see, if folk were listening to John Ketley, our mutual friend this week, you'll know he apologized profusely for forgetting you, and he's done some comprehensive stuff. So if you want to listen to John Ketley, you can find him on the Siren Podbean site. That's sirenradio.podbean.com, as we'll also find you there.
Yeah, and right, he should apologize for giving us the wrong forecast here.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. John Ketley's great. And I want to extend an invitation to Sir John. If he's ever out in the Los Angeles area, there is a guest room at the Man Cave for him to stay during his travels. So I want to put that out there.
I shall make sure he realizes that.
I know we kid Mr. Ketley about the forecast, but he is one of the best out there and a terrific guy, and always appreciate the shout-outs. But, yes, just... you know, he's always welcome at the Man Cave, and there's a place for him if he's ever out this way traveling. And
well, he's overly excited at the moment because the forecast he gave was grave for the next week or so. We have the Beast from the East, number 3, arriving, and it's possible that even in the low-lying areas of Lincolnshire, which is where he and I live, not together, of course, but within sort of hailing distance, we could get some serious snow, which is going to happen from Sunday onwards. You mentioned Sir John Ketley. He's not quite knighted yet. Before we go very much further, we have to recognise that Captain Sir Tom Moore passed away on the 2nd of February. We will be talking about him at the end of the programme. So if people are thinking, how on earth can you be talking about all this stuff going on in the States when you can't talk, you are not talking about the extraordinary Sir Tom? We will be talking about him at the end of our programme today.
He has taken America by storm, sir, you know, Sir Captain Tom.
A couple of weeks ago when he was, or last week when he was in hospital, you actually pinged a message to me quicker than I'd actually had it from the media system in this country that he was in hospital with pneumonia. Anyway, as I say, we'll talk about that because in our little pre-chat, you know, I look at you, you come on the screen, we have this little 15 minutes before we start the programme, and your shoulders are a bit down and you're a bit hangdog, and you came up with an interesting spirited expression which rather explained what you feel at the moment. The French, I think, put it a bit more subtly. They say plus ça change. All of the excitement of the inauguration, that's now sort of no longer there, is it?
Yeah, I mean, we were all excited at the Joe Biden's inauguration about unifying the country and getting a bipartisan legislation to defeat COVID and get the economy going, and at the end of the first couple of weeks, there's been some noticeable change in demeanor and tone. But when you cut to the chase, it's really a new day, same you know what.
Yes, indeed, and we're not going to go there.
We're back to cutting things along party lines. And there's been some instances of that have come up that are kind of disturbing. And
well, you hinted at them last week with some of the new Congress people who are there and who've been given positions in government. And that's still rumbling along because the Republican Party has had a conference, hasn't it?
Yeah, the Republican Party had a conference to, you know, take a look at their leadership. Assign their new members to committees. They've had to do a power, in the Senate, they've had to do some power sharing because it's an evenly divided Senate. So there's all sorts of gamesmanship and things going on, but there's some really disturbing things that are taking place that are causing things to kind of fall along party lines again, where, you know, Democrats are doing, you know, all doing their thing, Republicans are doing their thing, and there's there's been very little, if any, bipartisan support, although a lot of Biden's cabinet members have been, successfully pushed through. But Lindsey Graham is holding up Merrick Garland's appointment as the attorney general, saying there's not enough time to do 2 days worth of committee investigation because of the upcoming impeachment trial. But he's getting pushback, saying it's of the utmost of urgency that they have an attorney general put in place to complete their whole national security team. So a little gamesmanship going on there. Lindsey Graham, a lot of these Republicans, where they said one thing after Biden became president, and now they're backtracking and saying another, and where they had been putting blame on Trump for inciting the insurrection, they're now walking that back. And they're basically making the claims that the impeachment is unconstitutional. You can't impeach a president who's no longer in power, who's just a citizen. And
but he isn't, is he? Because he is always going to be president, because the rank never goes away until, I suppose, he dies.
Well, the title of president never goes away, but he is a private citizen now. He's not a president. He doesn't have access to the things that he had when he was in office. There's a question as to whether what they're doing is constitutional or not. They're saying that there is a precedent where somebody, 100 some odd years ago was impeached after he left office. So there's a precedent for it. And many constitutional scholars will tell you that, they certainly see no reason why it can't be done. But the Republican position and Trump's lawyers' positions are going to be that it's unconstitutional. He wants them to make the impeachment all about the big lie about the election was stolen from him, because he firmly believes that, even though it's not true. But there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces to, starting with Biden's agenda to get this big COVID stimulus package. It's a $1.9 trillion, plan that he's got that includes money for families, money for small businesses, money to get improved distribution of the vaccine, to get the vaccine into people's arms, to get people to be able to give the vaccine, to create more centers, to create ways for kids to safely go back to school, to get teachers vaccinated. And there's all sorts of pushback on all different fronts. Some Democrats are saying they won't support that package unless there's bipartisan support. The Democrats say they don't need bipartisan support because they can use the budget reconciliation rule that allows them to be able to pass anything Biden wants to do with just a simple majority and not a necessary 60-vote majority, with 51 votes, with Kamala Harris being the tiebreaker, would be the simple majority versus getting bipartisan support to get at least 60 votes. The other way around it, which would be a bipartisan way of doing it. Some Republicans have said the plan's too expensive. They brought a plan. 10 senators in good faith went to meet with Biden. They had a great meeting. It was very cordial. They shared ideas. They had good discussion. But the Republican plan was about one-third the size of Biden's plan. The new Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and Biden both say that the time is now to go big. And we need to go big in order to really get the economy going again. If we don't really boost the economy, it could take 2 to 3 years before it starts to get going again. So it's urgent that we get a big plan out there passed right away. So the Democrats think that with going through budget reconciliation, there will be some negotiations and some give and take, and they will get bipartisan support, that there are Republicans who will support it. So remains to be seen. At the same time, a lot of states, mainly Republican states, are trying to create new rules through their legislatures to suppress voter registration and voting rights for people in those states. And mainly it's aimed at the ethnic viewers in those states, Georgia for one, Pennsylvania another, Texas another. They're all trying to find ways to make it more difficult and deter people from voting. So you have people like Stacey Abrams out there who have been, monitoring this, and she's responsible for getting the vote out in Georgia and in a lot of places where Biden won because of the the ethnic vote, the Black, Latino vote. So, and the urban women, suburban women. So it's, you know, there's a lot of things going on out there, you know, because Republicans feel that, they have a better chance of winning the harder it is for people of color and others who might get turned off to having to go through a more rigorous process to be able to vote. So that's going on in the country. And then you have a Republican conference, which is sharply divided between traditional Republicans and the new, you know, Trump, they call the Retrumplicans, you know, those that are, you know, make up the MAGAs, the Make America Great people, and those that are been influenced by QAnon and have bought into all the lies and the lunacy of the QAnon conspiracies. And you have one congresswoman in particular who's causing a huge disturbance. Her name is Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia. And she won on a QAnon conspiracy platform. She beat out a brain surgeon who was a Trump supporter as well. But she really pushed QAnon conspiracies about election fraud, about you know, people in the elitists being people who are pedophiles, dealing in human trafficking, and, you know, worshiping devils and drinking the blood of babies. And I mean, it's just, it's nuts. It's you can't make this stuff up, how crazy it is. She believes that the school shootings at Sandy Hook here and at the, you know, Marjorie Stoneham Douglas, or Marjorie, you know, the Parkman High School in Florida, they were all, she called them false flags. They never happened. She's called Nancy Pelosi. She says she should be tried for treason, and the penalty for treason is death. And she was out there even talking about putting a bullet through Nancy Pelosi's head to make the process quicker. She said that the wildfires in California were started by Jewish space aliens with lasers. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The woman is absolutely crazy, and yet the Republican Party won't do anything about it. They were going to talk to her. The minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, who is a spineless wimp, refuses to do anything about her because, the party feels that they still need Trump. So he went down to Mar-a-Lago and kissed Trump's ring to get back in his good graces, because he kind of blamed the insurrection on Trump. Then he backtracked and went down there, and Trump has supported this QAnon woman. So now McCarthy's, you know, supporting her and not punishing her for what she said, because he said that she didn't say it well since she's been in Congress. She said all these things before, but she said it all on the campaign trail, and so it makes no sense what they're doing. And they put her, they actually put this woman who's been casting doubt on school shootings, they put her on the Education Committee, the Education and Budget Committee, which is just, you know, it's unfathomable.
Is there any way, is there any mechanism in your government to be able to hold her to account and maybe have her taken off or have it not ratified? It strikes me that you've got people who can say absolutely anything, and then they still enjoy the trappings of authority.
Right. Well, yes, there is. And the Republican conference, their assignment committee could have removed her, but they didn't. They didn't do that because they said that she, you know, she said, they said inside their conference she apologized, and nobody publicly heard any apology. And so what's happening right now is Nancy Pelosi, as we are talking, is having a press conference talking about the extreme conspiracy theorists inside the House that are in Congress right now who are a threat to our government, and they're going to have a vote on the floor to strip her of her committee assignments, and it'll probably pass because the Democrats will all do it. The question is, what Republicans will join ranks and condemn what she's doing? Because apparently, when she stood up and made her case in the conference last night, her supporters got up and applauded her. So it's crazy that they won't do anything to punish a conspiracy theorist, but the daughter of Dick Cheney, the former vice president of the United States, who is the number three ranking Republican in the conference, was being attacked, and they tried to get her out of power because she voted for the impeachment to hold Trump accountable. So she was put on Trump's enemies list, and he has his minions like Matt Gaetz from Florida, who's a total Trumper, go to her state of Wyoming and badmouth her, and they want to get her out, and they're going to try to run somebody against her to defeat her next time she runs. So you can't make this up. It's so crazy what's going on here that you would attack a woman who voted her conscience to hold Trump accountable for inciting this insurrection, which was building based on this lie about election fraud. But you're going to stand up and applaud a conspiracy theorist who makes anti-Semitic death threats, racist remarks, and that's okay. You know, and it's what's funny is that a few years back, Al Franken, who was the United States Senator from Minnesota, Democrat, and Franken was in the TV industry. He was a writer and a comedy writer and an actor. He was actually a cast member on Saturday Night Live and a writer for many years. And he's a very smart guy, and he got elected to the Senate in Minnesota and was a terrific senator. But he did something goofy and took a, you know, there was a photograph taken of him at a party where he had his hands around a woman. And it looked kind of compromising. And it was all, he said it was all done, you know, kind of tongue in cheek and in fun. But, you know, and it seemed like he got set up. But he was forced by his own party to resign from Congress. He gave up his seat. And, so here you have this guy who, you know, for just some, you know, if he would have apologized and somehow atoned for what he did, he'd probably still be in Congress. But he didn't. He couldn't, because it was overwhelming. You know, the court of public opinion, and then the pressure from his colleagues in the Congress forced him out. But yet here's this woman who all have acknowledged is a lunatic and a cancer on the party, and yet they don't strip her of her committee assignments, and they're not forcing her to resign. And it's, you know, it's like our country's gone mad. It's like people in this country have lost their minds.
And the other thing is, it constantly harks back to the previous administration and the previous president. And, you know, you want, and we all hope, that the new administration will have a chance to get its feet under the table and get on with, as he wants, was it a million vaccinations within 100 days of his coming to office? And all of a while, this keeps knocking it back. What I did say last week, and you sort of agreed with this, is that these are really the early days and maybe sort of the dying embers. And just get this all out of the way, get the impeachment trial out of the way, and then you hopefully, even if they are resorting to type, which I suspect they were going to anyway, despite the rhetoric of the inaugural day, they will resort to type. Then things can start getting going, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks' time. But I can sense it's incredibly frustrating, because on top of all of this, closer to home in California, there's a bit of an issue with the governor, isn't there?
Yeah, there's an issue with the governor. But to finish up on the other point about Trump, I mean, it's like you can't, I mean, if you had to write a movie about this, it's almost like impossible to create this scenario. But you have a president of the United States that set the tone 4 years ago saying if he would have lost the election, it was rigged. But he didn't lose the election, so apparently it wasn't rigged, because he won. But then he starts that same rhetoric while he's on the campaign trail, and he's inciting these people, and he's building this lie that goes on for months, and then he loses, and it continues to carry out to just days, you know, 2 weeks before the inauguration, and he incites this. He basically calls these people to Washington, tells them to come to fight, and he's got his minions who are, doing incendiary speeches. He's out there saying he's going to march to the Capitol with them, and they have to fight. You can't, you know, you got to show strength and all this garbage. And these people just unload on the Capitol. Many of them, they're finding out, didn't even vote in the election, but they're voting to overturn the election results of an election they didn't even vote in. And many are military members, which is scary in itself. But you have they destroy the grounds of the Capitol. They desecrate it. And then five people die, including one Capitol policeman. I mean, this was a coup d'etat. I mean, he was trying to overtake our government. He was trying to overturn our democracy. It's just, and that's the case the Democrats are going to have to build. But no Republican will, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if any Republican breaks ranks and votes to, convict him.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't get convicted, he's going to be out there with the headlines again. It's going to empower him to do even more of what he's doing down there, using the money that he raised fraudulently to put out there. He could even run again, which would be, I mean, it's almost impossible to see how someone could vote to put him back in based on how he's destroyed this country.
Well, let's just reflect. This time last year, we really had no idea what the pandemic was going to do, and look where we are now. So a lot can happen in 2 years for your midterms and 4 years. I'm conscious.
It put the spotlight on how bad his leadership was. But then again, you were talking about what's happening here in California.
Yeah, that's what I want to get on to.
So the Republicans, again, have initiated a recall of our Democratic governor, Gavin Newsom, who, you know, I think is a pretty darn good governor. I think he's pretty transparent. He's really been working hard. At the beginning of the pandemic, he was given rave reviews for how he was handling things. You know, he made some mistakes along the way, and, you know, which probably everybody has, because nobody knew how to handle this thing from the start. But he shut down the state. He's encouraging vaccinations. He had to shut down businesses. Because California, you know, had this second wave, and we were out of control. We became one of the best states early on to becoming one of the worst states. And we have there's virtually no beds available for people who are getting sick. If you get in a car accident, you better hope to heck somebody can treat you, because there's no place to take you, because the hospitals are filled with COVID patients. But the Republicans are using this now as a way to try to get him out of office. So they're pretty close to having the 1.5 million signatures they need to initiate a recall election to get him out, to run somebody else against him. But, you know, most of the political experts and pundits feel that the California is such a Democratic state that it'll be almost – and Newsom isn't being perceived the same way Gray Davis was when he was recalled a few years back. They recalled the Democratic governor after Jerry Brown. Gray Davis won, and he was recalled, and Arnold Schwarzenegger ended up becoming our governor. But they don't really put him on the same plane as a Gray Davis, and they don't think that the recall is going to go the way of the Republicans this time. But just the fact that they're doing that is such nonsense. I mean, The double standards that are happening, you know, across this country, you know, over political power, you know, voting and power, and, you know, people putting themselves over the good of the country. I mean, we're in a pandemic, and, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of people have died? How many hundreds of thousands of people are in the hospitals? And yet everybody's worried about, you know, being Speaker of the House in 2 years or getting Trump to run in 4 years. I mean, we got to deal with the here and now. We got economic problems. We've got schools that are closed and kids that are not in school, that are not socializing, and young kids, you know, getting, you know, having mental illness issues and committing suicide, and that's a real issue. Mm. You know, and Biden, who wants to unify the country and do it in a bipartisan way, you know, he's got all this, you know, all this noise that he's got to deal with, you know, and it's just ridiculous. So it's basically, you know, new day, same garbage.
Mm-hmm. As the French would say, plus ça change. I was just reflecting on that wonderful film, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, with James Stewart.
Yeah.
That's the sort of person you want who inspires. But, of course, that's fiction.
The movie. Yeah, and that's the movies and isn't reality here.
No. But you did mention Arnold Schwarzenegger. And ironically, one of the films we'd got stacked up from Christmas was Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, is that a great movie or what?
Oh, what a feel-good movie. That we all need to watch that. And talking of feel-good, even though it's sad, just a reminder, we're recording this around about 4:30 GMT, and it's the 4th of February. 2 days ago, we had the sad news, but I suspect not in many people's minds, the unexpected news that Captain Sir Tom Moore passed away. He had been in hospital. He'd been suffering from pneumonia. He was also diagnosed as having COVID. How ironic. He raised £32 million plus for the National Health Service, and many, many people across the country came out to clap in support of everything he did. And he had a huge effect on, in the States, didn't he?
Oh, I think he had a huge effect world over. He was somebody that they talked about on the U.S. news almost daily, especially once he got sick. I mean, when he started his doing the laps to raise money to fight COVID, he got attention. And then as, you know, what he was doing began to build. They said, I think they reported, you said 30-some-odd million. I think the number we heard here was 40 million.
It's probable that I've just picked up an old press release, which for me is erroneous. I should not have done that. It's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, regardless, whatever it is, it's a tremendous amount of money. And what he did was, you know, at the age of 100 is unbelievable. I mean, you know, that we should all live to have 100 years under our belts with our wits about us and our and stay in good health.
Actually, you were completely right. I've just double checked. When you add tax rebates, because we can gift back the tax that we have paid on our money, it comes up to 39 million. So yes, nearly 40 million. Absolutely stunning.
What an unbelievable human being. You know, just amazing.
And he just carried on entrancing us. Every time I heard him on the radio or watched him on television, I thought, you are everybody's grandfather. And he'd had a tough life. His wife, he nursed her for many, many years because she became ill quite late on in their marriage. And he kept going to her bedside when she was in hospital. She died in 2006. And then it was just that wonderful spirit. And it's that spirit which we keep referring to, you know, the Dunkirk spirit, the Blitz spirit of getting through this COVID thing. There is something about that generation. I recognize it a bit in my mum and dad, and I'm sure you have it in your parents. There was something else. We got angry about things. We got, you know, there were things that really upset us. But they had this depth which they were able to draw on, which helped them, I suppose, in one sense, put things into perspective.
Yeah, they had to grow up at an early age, you know.
Yeah, true.
And they didn't have time to get spoiled, you know, with the luxuries of life, because they were fighting for their freedom, they were fighting for their safety, they were fighting for their country. And they didn't have time to think, and they had to learn to grow up and make good decisions and take care of families. I mean, kids were supporting parents, and kids were, you know, young people were fighting the enemy, and it was so much different. You know, if you take a look at probably what Captain Tom went through as a young man versus what our children are going through today, it's hard to even imagine. It's hard to imagine. It's kind of a shame that some of that is lost on our kids today, because we live in, maybe because it's, the world is so technologically advanced and life is made a lot easier for us in many ways, but. You know, those were, you know, you're right. They were special people who, you know, had, you know, it was almost like with them, it was like cool heads prevailed, you know. You could always count on them to have a good solution or good advice rather than just, you know, crying about, you know, oh, poor little old me. It was, you know, that was never the attitude these people had. Mm. And you know, there's something to be said about that. You know, it's funny. You know what comes to mind when I hear when you first told me about Captain Tom?
Go on.
The first thing that comes to my mind is the David Bowie song, you know, Major Tom. I always hear,
yep,
there's Major Tom to ground control. You know, that's what comes to mind when I hear his name. That's why I keep referring to him as Major Tom instead of Captain Tom. And I think about that song, and you know, and it's just, you know, it's, you know, people like that, you know, it's a vanishing breed. It's a vanishing breed. And there's a reason they call them the greatest generation. And, you know, when we heard of his passing, I know, you know, you don't know what to do, but, you know, you know, we certainly, you know, share and send our thoughts to him and his family for his outstanding service and for all the good that he did, you know, for not only for your country but for the world and showing that, you know, you're never too old to have, you know, a purpose in life, you know. And you know, he's an outstanding man. He's a great humanitarian, and you know, he deserves, you know, we salute him.
And one of the wonderful retrospectives on his life finished with that quote of him just sitting there saying, "It's going to be a great day." Mm. Oh, phenomenal!
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, you know, heroes like that, you know, you cherish while they're here.
That's the proper use of the word hero, which takes us back to another David Bowie song as well, of course. And, of course, the other thing is that he became, not captain, he became an honorary colonel of the Yorkshire Regiment, which is the one he served with as a second lieutenant, I think, in the Second World War, with great distinction. We're going to have to wrap it up there. We've had our 30 minutes, and I'd never want to push the internet and the wibbly-wobbly too far on these grey days. It's about to pour with rain here in the United Kingdom. Snow is on its way, apparently. So this time next week, when you and I chat, hopefully we'll be out the other side. And the spring buds, we've got snowdrops popping up all over the place and daffodils bravely showing their faces. So there are some signs of hope. And let's hope that we will be able to gradually refine stuff away so that we can, as the song goes, accentuate the positive.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to have that as an earworm in your head all day.
I'm sorry. I'm already, the song's playing through both the songs. Hero, We Can Be Heroes, and Major Tom are both going through my head at the same time. But it's all good. You know, it's all good because, you know, it brings a smile to my face. And I think that's, you know, that's what you have. When you hear about Captain Tom, a smile should come to your face.
Indeed. Bruce K. Rosenwood, thanks so much indeed for spending time with us this week here on Siren Radio.
You're so welcome, Andrew. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe up there in Lincoln.
And...